Chapter 7, The Monster Mermaid. See what I mean? TV shows don't get much dumber than that. Okay, Terry, I said when it was finally over, let's get back to work.
But it's time for my second favourite show, said Terry. Buzzy the Buzzing Fly.
Buzzy the Buzzing Fly, starring Buzzy the Buzzy Fly.
Buzz, 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 buzz.
Oh, no, it's not, I said, grabbing the remote and turning off the TV.
Oh, yes, it is,
said Terry, snatching the remote out of my hand and turning it back on. Actually, I think you'll find that it's not, I said, picking up the TV and throwing it out of the treehouse. It landed with a crash on the ground below. Terry shrugged.
I guess you're right, he said.
Hey!
Yelled a voice.
That almost landed on my head!
Oops. I peeped over the edge. It was Bill, the postman.
Sorry, Bill,
I said.
It was an accident.
That's all right,
said Bill, chuckling.
Delivering mail to the 13-story treehouse is always an adventure. Is young Terry there? I've got a parcel for him. Special delivery.
Yay, said Terry, sprinting for the ladder. I'll be right down.
He returned a few minutes later with a package.
My sea monkeys!
He yelled as he opened it.
They've arrived at last!
Sea monkeys? I said. What do you want them for? We've already got a perfectly good tank full of man-eating sharks.
But sea monkeys are much better than man-eating sharks, said Terry. Sea monkeys have three eyes. They breathe through their feet and they build vast underwater kingdoms. Sharks can't do any of that. Sharks don't even have feet. I'm going to make my sea monkeys come alive right now.
Not so fast, I said. We've got a book to write, remember?
I know, said Terry, and I promise I'll get to work right after I've hatched the sea monkeys.
They come to life instantly.
All I have to do is add water. Please, please, please.
Okay, I said. But hurry.
Sure thing,
said Terry, rushing to the elevator.
I'll be right back.
I waited for a long time. And then a really long time. And then a really, really long time. But he didn't come back. Eventually, I found him down in the secret underground laboratory.
What are you doing?
I said. I thought you were supposed to be adding water to the eggs.
I am, said Terry. I've just finished making the apparatus that will help me measure the exact amount of water I need. Too much, and the sea monkeys could drown.
Too little, and they could suffocate. But you said hatching the eggs would be instant,
I said.
And it will be,
said Terry,
just as soon as I add the water. Now, stand back.
He pushed a button, and the water dripped out of the machine.
Drop by painfully slow drop. by even more painfully slow drop. Finally, about 1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,
At last, I said. Add the eggs, quick, and let's get back to work.
Sure,
said Terry.
I just have to purify the water.
How long will that take?
I said. Terry looked at the packet.
24 hours.
What?
I said.
But that's a whole day!
Don't be silly, Andy,
said Terry, laughing.
There aren't 24 hours in a day.
Yes, there are!
I shouted. And if you think I'm going to let you waste any more time on these stupid sea monkeys, then you're out of your tiny pea-brained, numbskull-sized mind!
Brains, a simple guide. Terry, large pea-sized brain. Bird, sesame seed-sized brain. A gnat, grain of sand-sized brain. Andy, atom-sized brain.
These descriptions are not to scale.
What's your language, Andy?
Said Terry.
There might be children listening.
I don't care who is listening,
I said.
Put your sea monkey eggs in that water right now, or else I swear I'll shove that jar onto your head so hard that it will be stuck there for the rest of your life. How would you like that?
Terry thought about it for a moment.
What would it be like to live the rest of my life with a jar on my head? Brushing my teeth would be difficult. Eating dinner would be difficult. Hair styling, well, that would be difficult. Picking my nose would be difficult. Getting married, well, that would be okay. Except when it came to kissing the bride, that would be difficult. Getting old, well, getting old with a jar on my head, that would be difficult. Getting very, very old, stupid jar. Finally dying with a jar on my head. Difficult. I don't think I'd like it at all,
he said finally.
I guess, under the circumstances, we can skip the water purifying step and add the eggs straight away.
Great thinking, I said. Terry's hand was trembling as he poured the sea monkey eggs into the jar. He stirred it and held it up to the light.
I've done it! He shouted. I'm a genius! I've created life!
He was right. Not about being a genius, of course, but there was definitely a bunch of newly hatched sea monkeys bobbing around in the jar.
Well, that's just great,
I said. Now can we get back to our book?
Not yet, said Terry. I have to feed them one level scoop of official sea monkey growth food.
I groaned.
Does that mean that now you have to build a one level scoop of official sea monkey growth food dispensing machine?
No need for that. They come with their own official sea monkey growth food dispensing utensil,
said Terry as he sprinkled sea monkey growth food from a plastic spoon into the top of the jar. The food triggered a feeding frenzy. Well, in one sea monkey at least. It swam straight to it and sucked it all up before the others could get any.
What a guts,
said Terry. Better put some more in, I said. Terry measured out another spoonful and sprinkled it into the jar. Once again, the greedy sea monkey ate it all. And then it started to grow.
Within seconds, it doubled in size and then doubled in size again. Then it swam around the jar and ate all the other sea monkeys. It grew bigger and bigger and bigger. It's getting too big for the jar, said Terry. Get a beaker, I said. A really big beaker. Terry darted away and returned with the biggest beaker we had.
That ought to hold it,
he said as he tipped the sea monkey from the jar into its new home. But the sea monkey kept right on growing. Soon it was too big for the beaker, so we tipped it into a bucket. But it quickly outgrew that as well.
It's no use, said Terry. We need something even bigger.
How about the bath? I said.
I didn't know we had a bath, said Terry.
Yes, I said. I've been meaning to talk to you about that. It's in the bathroom.
I didn't know we had a bathroom, said Terry.
Just bring the bucket and follow me, I said. We sprinted to the elevator.
We rode the elevator to the bathroom floor.
We sprinted out of the elevator and into the bathroom. We threw the sea monkey into the bath. Ugh, that is one weird-looking sea monkey, I said when we'd finally got it into the bath.
That's because I'm not a sea monkey,
said the weird-looking sea monkey.
I am a mermaid.
A mermaid?
Said Terry, looking like he was about to cry.
But mermaids are for girls. I ordered sea monkeys.
It's not my fault,
said the mermaid.
The eggs must have got mixed up at the factory. My name is Mermaidia. What's yours?
Terry, he said.
That's a nice name for a merman,
said Mermaidia.
I'm not a merman,
said Terry.
Oh, I thought you were,
said Mermaidia, gazing at Terry.
You're certainly good-looking enough to be one.
Terry blushed and giggled. Hello, I said. I'm Andy.
Uh-huh,
said Mermaidia, not taking her eyes off Terry. I live here too, I said.
Uh-huh,
said Mermaidia.
Why don't you run along now, Sandy? Terry and I would like to be alone.
Yes,
said Terry dreamily.
But what about our book?
I said. When are we going to do that? But it was no use. Neither of them were listening to me. They were just gazing into each other's eyes. It was quite embarrassing, actually. I stepped out of the room and closed the door. The thing was, though, I could still hear what they were saying.
You are so sweet,
said Mermaidia.
I wish I could stay here with you.
But you can, can't you?
Said Terry.
Alas, no,
said Mermaidia.
I can't live in a bathtub forever.
We've got a swimming pool,
said Terry.
It's see-through. You could live there.
But I need to live in the sea,
said Mermaidia.
It's where I belong.
Oh, said Terry sadly.
I know,
said Mermaidia.
Why don't you come to live with me? We could live in my 13-story sandcastle under the sea.
That would be nice, said Terry. But I'm not a merman. I can't breathe underwater.
There is a way, though,
said Mermaidia.
When a human and a mermaid get married, the human becomes a merman. And all we have to do to be married is kiss.
I should have rushed in and broken it up right then and there, but I didn't want them to know I'd been listening. And besides, I was too late anyway. I shuddered as I heard the unmistakable sound of a human and a mermaid kissing.
"Oh, darling,"
crooned Mermaidia.
"I'm so happy. Let's leave right away."
"Okay," said Terry. "I've just got to say goodbye to Andy."
"All right, but hurry,"
sighed Mermaidia impatiently.
"I don't know how much longer I can last in this bathwater."
I quickly hid as Terry came out of the bathroom. He climbed down the ladder and started looking for me.
"Andy,"
he called.
"I need to talk to you."
I was about to go down and join him when I heard a strange gurgling sound coming from the bathroom. It sounded like Mermaidia was choking and, even though I didn't especially like her, I thought I should still see if she was all right. But as I entered the bathroom, I caught sight of her reflection in the mirror, and what I saw was definitely not all right. In fact, it was definitely all wrong. Very, very wrong. Mermaidia wasn't Mermaidia anymore. She was a sea monster. How could I be so sure that she was a sea monster? Well, for a start, there was her slimy sea monstery skin, and her slimy sea monstery tentacles, and her slimy sea monstery stench. But above all, I think it was the fact that she was saying, "Perfume mirror on the wall. Who's the sneakiest sea monster of all?" That really clinched it for me. You know when you see something so horrible that you want to look away but you can't? Well, this was so horrible that I had to get out my flip camera and record it.
"Bathroom mirror on the wall. Who's the sneakiest sea monster of all? The human does not suspect a thing. He's such a stupid dingaling. He thinks that he will live with me in a palace of sand beneath the sea. He does not know this will not be. Instead, he will be dinner for me. I'll lure him down beneath the water. And then his body I will slaughter. Oh, how I'll enjoy devouring him. I'll tear him apart limb from limb. I'll eat his eyes and ears and nose and suck the marrow from his toes. I'll crush his puny pea-brained head and grind his bones to make my bread. My trap is set. My plans are laid. All I must do is keep up
the charade."
"Who, me? A sea monster?
Your brain needs first aid. I'm a lovely, innocent, sweet mermaid."
And with that, the monster became Mermaidia again and climbed back into the bathtub. I stopped recording and rushed off to find Terry. He was down in the kitchen. The marshmallow dispenser was shooting marshmallows into his mouth just as fast as he could swallow them.
"Guess what, Andy?"
he mumbled with his mouth full. Let me see. You and Mermaidia got married and you're off to live in an underwater 13-story sandcastle?" Terry was amazed.
"How did you know?"
"I heard the whole thing," I said, "and that's not all I heard. After you left, I discovered that Mermaidia is not a mermaid at all. She's a sea monster."
"That's a lie," said Terry. "You're just jealous."
"No, I'm not," I said. "Look at this." I pressed play on my camera and handed it to him.
"Yikes," said Terry. "What am I going to do?"
"Well, for a start," I said, "I think you should definitely break up with her.
And pretty soon, too.
Of course I will, said Terry. But what if she tries to eat me?
Calm down, I said. I was just joking. For the moment, there's no need to do anything. She doesn't know that you know that she's a sea monster.
Oh, yes, I do, said a hideous, gurgling voice behind us.
We turned to see Mermaidia sliming her way across the kitchen towards us.
Go away,
said Terry, trying to hide behind me.
But we're married, my darling,
she said, extending her horrible face towards Terry.
Don't kiss me,
he pleaded, his eyes wide in alarm.
I'm not going to kiss you, she said. I'm going to eat you and your eavesdropping friend.
But I didn't mean to eavesdrop, I said. Can't you just let me off with a warning or a small fine or something?
I suppose I could, said Mermaidia. It's just that I'm so very hungry. Being cooped up in a sea monkey packet for so long gives one such an appetite.
We backed away from Mermaidia until we were pressed up against the elevator doors. I felt around behind me, desperately trying to find the button to open the door as she slimed closer and closer. Finally, I found it. The doors slid open and we tumbled backwards into the elevator. Mermaidia roared as the doors slid shut.
Phew, said Terry. I'm glad that's over.
Are you kidding? I said as we descended towards the laboratory. That was only round one.
So what are we going to do now?
Well, I said, this might be a dumb question, but can the banana enlarger work in reverse?
You mean as a banana shrinker?
Said Terry.
Sure. It's simply a matter of reversing the polarity. But how are shrunken bananas going to help us fight a sea monster?
They're not, I explained as the elevator doors opened into the lab. And we're not going to fight a sea monster. We're going to shrink it. But you're going to have to work fast. Your wife will be here any second.
Don't remind me,
said Terry, making a dash for the enlarger. I listened as the elevator rose through the trunk back to the main level. Mermaidia had obviously summoned it and would be here any moment.
One sea monster shrinker ready for action, said Terry.
Just in time, I said. I stood as close to the elevator as I dared. The doors slid open and Mermaidia oozed into the room.
Ah, there you are, she gurgled. I can't believe you really thought you were going to get away from me. You humans are so stupid.
And you're nothing but an overgrown sea monkey, I taunted as I backed across the lab towards the shrinker, hoping she would follow.
I am not a sea monkey,
she shrieked as she slimed her way towards me.
I'm a sea monster! And just for that, I'm going to eat you first. Oh, no, you're not, I said. Oh, yes, I am,
she said as she touched the tip of my nose with one of her stinking black tentacles. No, you're really not, I shouted, jumping clear.
Now, Terry!
Terry fired up the shrinker and blasted her with the ray. Mermaidia screamed in rage as she began to shrink before our eyes.
I'm shrinking!
She screamed as she grew smaller and smaller.
I'm shrinking! 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 Shrinking!
Soon she was no larger and no more dangerous than a jelly bean. She lay on the floor between us, ranting in a tiny, high voice.
she was the worst sea monkey ever, said Terry. I've got a good mind to send her back to the factory.
We're going to send her back, all right, I said, but not to the factory. Back to the sea where she belongs. In fact, I'm going to do it right now. Unless you'd prefer to.
No, I don't think I can, said Terry.
Fine, I said. I picked her up with a pair of tweezers, dropped her into the toilet, and pushed full flush. Twice. I wasn't taking any chances. When I came out, Terry was wiping away a tear. I can only guess how sad you must feel, I said, putting my arm around him. But try to look on the bright side.
What bright side?
Now we can get on with our book.